wonderful morning it's been. And we're not done yet. Amen. All you say amen on that one. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And hope you have a great day. Hope you haven't got too many early reservations, because we don't want you to be disappointed. So my topic this morning is, and he will be called Everlasting Father. Does anyone besides my wife know who this guy is? Do you? His name is Joe Gibbs. And he was coach for the, well, you're not supposed to use this word, but I will anyways, for the Washington Redskins for 12 years. He won 3 Super Bowls. And then he moved over to NASCAR. And he was managing the Chevys and Pontiacs back then. And he won 5 NASCAR championships. He won over 70 races with his cars. And then one of the reasons, well, this is the second most important reason that we're celebrating, is that he eventually went over and he took over all the Toyotas. And that's what we drive, Toyota. But what I want to tell you about, this is Father's Day, so we're just kind of spreading out the whole picture here, is this guy can pray. And I really wanted to be able to get, we're kind of just casually every now and then on a weekend, you sit down to just for a breather for a while or just whatever and turn the TV on. And usually on the weekends, there's going to be NASCAR of some sort. There'll be the trucks on Friday night. There'll be Xfinity Series on Saturday. And that's usually the mostly junior races who are trying to get to Sunday's race eventually, which is the NASCAR race. But they have prayer before every race. Always, every race. And I can't remember which one I was sitting down to. And they said, well, the owner, Joe Gibbs, is going to pray. And I'm telling you, what a ball of fire. I mean, he was thanking God for safety and everything else. But he said, and he's looking at anywhere from, 80 to 110,000 people. And he's going, and if there's anybody out there that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, this is a day to do it. I can't, it's one thing for us guys who we're not millionaires, but the Bible tells us it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. But it's so awesome to see millionaires that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's still the power, no matter how much money you got or don't have, it's still the power to save. And so if you ever get an opportunity, you can always Google it too. He's got all kinds of stuff on there. The media is a little bit hesitant to redo anything because he's a Christian. If he would have been anybody else, I'm sure they would redo it all the time. But he had a son with him they were managing the teams, and his son got some kind of neurological disease and died. And so what did Joe Gibbs do? He went and wrote a book on healing. And so he's always finding a positive aspect to everything. And his grandson, or I believe it's his grandson, Ty, is racing them. Anyway, so it's just awesome to see that. Now, before I go a step further, and you were going to remind me, somebody want to bring the offering plates forward, please. We'll get the hang of this yet again. But we're very thankful. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for both offerings this morning. We thank you for the general offering. We thank you, Lord, that you and we've been talking about that you're a good, good Father. And we're loved by you. You're generous. You provide more than enough for us. And we give you thanks for a more than enough congregation and for their generosity and kindness. Bless this offering to the abundance of your work. And Lord, we thank you for the FCA scholarship offering. Lord, that this has been many, many years we've been able to invest in the lives of future ministers. And we don't want to stop, so bless this offering as well abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. All right. We got more going this morning than I recall. Oh, there's Joe Gibbs praying for his... one of his pit crews. And I believe that's a driver, Bubba Wallace, right there. And he prays for everybody. And just awesome to see. Amen. We need more men like that. And so here's the topic this morning, and he will be called Everlasting Father, speaking of Jesus. And that's from Isaiah 9:6. Sorry, I didn't get that on there. So this is on our series, Let Us Fix Our Eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Some of you get Ed Elliott's blog on Facebook. Ed Elliott was here a number of years ago. They called him the Vagabond Evangelist. Him and his wife were missionaries in Africa for many, many years. And now he's kind of like Wendell. He drives all over the place in his motorcycle and preaches. And that's just the way he gets around. He loves it. He has this little camp stove that he cooks his own meals and everything. And away he goes. Anyways, he had a very simple thing on this week. And as regards to Peter, and Peter trying to walk on water, and it just goes with what I want to share. He says, taking your eyes off Jesus changes your focus and your outcome. It is always nice when you can read your own writing, you know. Changes your focus and outcome. And that's what happened to Peter. He got his eyes off Jesus, and it changed his focus and outcome. And I believe it's the same for us today. We get our eyes off of Jesus, and we're not going to get the same outcome as if we kept our eyes on Jesus. Now, 4 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus as our rock, or being rock solid. 2 weeks ago, we talked about God, our provider for our identity and for our provisions. Today, we're going to talk about on Jesus as the everlasting Father. Now, a lot of times, this scripture I know is used the 4 weeks before Christmas kind of thing as well, because there are four things mentioned here about what Jesus was going to be like. And this is the third one. But it's like, why wait till Christmas? We might as well do it. We might as well talk about it today. Now, when we try to relate to God as our Father, we have a tendency to bring the relationship of our earthly Father into the picture. And for many, that hasn't been a good journey. For others, it's been a very good journey. But for those who've had a tough journey with their father, and maybe their father's been missing, or maybe their father passed away at an early age, or maybe he had to go away to work all the time and didn't have the time that he wanted to for his children, there's just a lot of things, but we have a father that never leaves us or forsakes us. And so it's hard to relate that way. There's also another line of thought that says the character and behavior of the Son of God is different from God the Father. And so we, you know, there's that also that association that we have a hard time seeing God the Father and Jesus in the same light and in the same character. So why would Jesus be called the Everlasting Father? I believe the shortest and simplest answer is that as we study the Holy Scriptures, we see many of the same character and behaviors are attributed to both. Now, we must always keep in mind that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct personalities as part of the Godhead. And we're not going to go into all of that because it would just take forever. But we got to remember that they are distinct. And because it was God the Father who would send Jesus. It was Jesus who was crucified and rose again. And it was the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. I mean, there's many other facets to it, but we've got to keep those things, remember those things in the order that they happened. Jesus never gave birth to his father. You know what I'm saying? There is that order, there's that distinction of that. But also there's some things that are attributed to both of them. And I'll go through some familiar scripture to begin with this morning. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. John 14:9. Says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So there's some similarities, or some things that Jesus is trying to line up, that I'm no different than my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You know what my Father's like if you've been looking at me, kind of thing. And then, that got backwards. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he has made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Amen. So we're just going to look at, well, actually one thing this morning, because you could look at a lot of the different attributes and characteristics and behaviors of the Father in the scripture that points to the Father and scriptures that point to the Son, and basically they're saying the same thing. These guys are the same. They behave the same. So in Psalms 103, and again, I just picked a couple out. There's many you can go through. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, and who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with the good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So one of the things that we see attributed to God the Father, he is a God of compassion. And sometimes we don't look at God that way, but especially religion doesn't, but it's there. Then if we go to Nehemiah, again, just breaking into the story here, it says, they refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God. Isn't that awesome? He is a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate. Compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. He could have, but God is God of love. He's a God of compassion, and he's a God of forgiveness. And so one of the things attributed to him in Scripture is that he is a God of compassion. Then if we go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he, who is Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So we see that the Father not only had compassion, but the attribute to his Son was also compassion. That Jesus, when he looked and saw the crowd, he was not hard-hearted. He did not turn his back on them, but he had compassion. And he had a feeling for them and that compassion that he wanted to do something because they didn't have a shepherd, and he is the great shepherd. And so we see that attributed to him. Mark chapter 8, verse 2, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. So he fed a group once, and now he's got another group. And, the thought was to send them away, but then it was like he had compassion. It's like, I can't do this. These people are too precious to me. Somehow we got to get some food to them. So because of that love and compassion that we have, because they had, and because Christ lives in us and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we want to be like God our Father. And so we basically will eventually behave like God our Father. If we think God is mad and angry, we're going to be mad and angry, But if we see God as a God of love, compassion, and forgiveness, and we see Jesus as the one of love, compassion, and forgiveness, and we've experienced that forgiveness, it's really easy to forgive others and have compassion on them as well. So in regards to that, we can find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. So those characteristics of that behavior and that life that we see in God the Father and in Jesus, that also is to be part of us. So there are many other things that we could go to this morning, but I'm not going to. Let me just relate a few of them. See, there's only one begotten Son, and that's Jesus. We relate to God through adoption, but he is compassionate. And we could find more scriptures in regards to the Father being compassionate, more scriptures in regards to the Son being compassionate. He is patient. I think sometimes we look at God the Father as being impatient. Now, we also see that Jesus had a little trouble with religious people, but he was patient and kind and compassionate for the most part to everyone. And he was patient with them as well, too. He is loving, of course. God is love. We read that. And so there's many, many things that we could talk about this morning. But the idea is this, that he will be called the Everlasting Father because we see in him what we see in God the Father. And so, again, we're going to use a Christmas scripture to close with. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God out there, not God out there, not God in somebody else's church or somebody else's home, but God with us. God abiding with us, indwelling us, and as part of our life. Amen. Let's... Sorry? Okay. Sorry. Amen. Father, again, we thank you today for this beautiful day. We thank you for Father's Day. We thank you for all of the dads and all the men and the boys that we have in this congregation, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon them. And Lord, today we ask for wisdom upon dads and husbands. As in this world and the world's ideas is so twisted. But we thank you, Lord, that our men have godly wisdom. Our boys are growing up with godly wisdom. Your Holy Spirit indwells them, and you are leading them and guiding them and directing them. And each step is going to be ordered of the Lord. And we thank you, despite what the world says, we are going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon us and this day, and as families gather together, and some of the families will be larger than normal because the relatives are coming in. We just pray for a blessed time together, your peace. And Lord, we pray for your compassion because we all have that aunt and uncle or cousin that gets us the wrong way. But we pray today, Lord, that we're going to have such compassion and such forgiveness and such mercy and such love that they will be blessed. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.